Alana Barker-Thompson is an award-winning cinematographer and director based in Melbourne, and is now the creative director of her own production company, Said and Done Media, which offers an alternative to what has been traditionally practiced in the film industry. Alana, welcome to Celluloid Dreams.
Thank you.
At the risk of generalizing, while I think audiences understand there's a craft to making films, there's a percentage that perhaps doesn't consider what a career in the industry looks like for filmmakers of marginalized genders. Based on your experience, I wonder if you could describe the current landscape.
Yeah, my pleasure. Look, it's definitely changing and it is getting better, but there is still such a long way to go. And what really brought that to everyone's attention was the a wider lens survey that was done. I think it was done in 2021, but it surveyed the film industry and kind of laid out exactly who was in the industry. And it really highlighted the underrepresented groups. So although it's getting better, there's still such a long way to go. And I think there's a lot of DIY groups on the internet and people like myself who are trying to flip those statistics on their head and try to bring more underrepresented groups in.
So you've actually created your own production company, which has been running for a couple of years. Can you tell me how that works and the way you're working to affect change?
Yeah, so I'll give you a quick rundown of how I got into the industry, because I think that definitely plays into it. So I finished my film degree and my first job was as a camera operator for a Animal Planet TV show, Whale Wars. So I spent 3 months filming in Antarctica doing run and gun work, which was incredible. And then I came back to Melbourne and thought, okay, so I want to get into crewing. I eventually want to be a cinematographer, so I've got to work my way up through the ranks. So I started working as a PA and a runner on sets. And it was a great experience, but I did notice that a lot of the men in similar positions tended to get rehired, whereas a lot of the women didn't. And I kind of straight away saw that there was a bit of an imbalance there and realized pretty quickly that it was going to be really hard work working my way up that way. So I went out on my own and started a production company and started freelancing and just kind of did it myself. And I would love to tell you that that has changed, but only 2 days ago I saw a really prominent Steadicam operator in the US post. Her name's Jessica Lopez. She goes under the handle of Steady Jess, and she was posting about thinking about quitting, and she has an incredible career over there, but she said it's because she's always the temporary diversity hire and never actually gets hired long term on projects. So I think it's still an issue today, and for me that was back in 2014. So it's really sad to see that it's still happening in 2023.
So do you think, you know, running your own company is part, and you're obviously working to employ female-led crews, et cetera. Is this the key way of making change?
I think there's many ways of making change. And I think coming at it from all angles is really important. I think obviously people like Screen Australia and Screen Vic, they all have roles to play, and they are playing those roles in helping push diversity through crews. I think production companies need to really take a look at themselves, and if they keep hiring the same person all the time, maybe address that. And I'm trying to bring awareness to that, certainly through my posts and what I do. I think we all have a role to play in changing it. And I will say that my company is female led, but what I try to do is flip the stats, but not just by hiring women, by hiring gender diverse people, BIPOC, neurodiverse, because I'm neurodiverse myself, people who may be disabled, like all different types of people. Like, it's all the people who are underrepresented. So it's important to include queer, everyone in that umbrella, people who aren't represented.
And also, I guess I'm interested to explore, it's not just the hiring, it's also ways of working.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's also, you've got to make sure that you're actually creating a safe space for those people on set, and making sure that the environments are inclusive and safe, and that even just little things like everyone that you hire on your crew understands the importance of pronouns and using them. And, you know, if it's culturally diverse people, making sure that the set is safe in that way. So it's a lot of learning, and I'm constantly learning, but I'm really dedicated to trying to become better and create those safe places for people. Language is really important. It's an important part of that. And as I said, I'm still in the learning process, but I think that language plays a big part in making a safe space for people on set.
I think there's also an area of unconscious bias for lots of people. They're just really not aware of what they're doing and how they're reinforcing the stereotypes. So how do we work to affect change for people that possibly can't even see they need it?
Oh, yeah, it's a tricky question. Look, I still get called a cameraman, you know, regularly on sets, and I just don't think people even realize. And yeah, they just don't know any language other than cameraman. And it's like, I'm standing right in front of you. I'm clearly not a man. Yeah, so it is, it's really hard. And people, I think they think I'm just banging on about this thing and that it's not an issue and they just can't see it, even though we've got, you know, a wider lens and all these things that are laying it out for everyone to see that, yes, it is a problem. So how do we address those people? I don't know. We just keep kindly and warmly expressing it and talking about it, not attacking them, and reassuring them that it's not about taking their work away. It's about making an environment that's better for all of us. And, you know, we can tell better stories when we come together and when we have diverse voices, and everything becomes better all the way from pre-production to post-production. Like it's for the benefit of everyone. So I don't know how to get through to some of those people, but I think just talking about it in the first place is fantastic. Just getting the conversation going and keeping it going.
Yeah, I guess the first step to unlocking unconscious bias is to make it conscious at some level, but in that non-threatening way.
Exactly. And I was reading something the other day, actually. There's this fantastic animation studio called BN. I think they're over in the US, but they're all about diverse animation and changing that industry in their animations themselves, but also within their team. And they post something about running towards your biases. So trying to become conscious of what those biases are, because we all have them, no matter how, you know, progressive you think you are, we all naturally have biases, the tests you can do online to kind of highlight that. But yeah, running towards them, figuring out what they are, and then moving more towards the people who you might normally have those biases against.
How do you feel collective action initiatives and DIY filmmaking are working towards making the landscape more equitable?
Yeah, DIY groups are playing a huge role in that. I know so many crew members that I've found through Flickr, with an A, which is a Facebook group run by Steph Westwood. Yeah, that's great. It's basically an online Facebook community for people in the film industry of marginalized genders. So it's for cis women, trans men, trans women, non-binary and agender people. And it's got about 1,400 members. And there's constantly call outs on there for people through all different departments of the film industry. I've managed to get some great camera assistants and editors through there. And it's great because we all just kind of come together and bring each other on crews. And that's a really great way of kind of kicking that door open and jamming it open and then kind of going, come on through, let's go. I should mention there's another group that I'm in too called the Neurodiverse Filmmakers Group. And that's fantastic too. That's for people who have autism and ADHD, like myself and other neurodiverse conditions. So, and there's also, you know, not so DIY, but WIFT and the Melbourne Women in Film Festival. So there's lots of really great things that you can get involved in that are helping and pushing things forward.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable that the revolution in the access to technology, to equipment, essentially is partly driving these changes. It's certainly equitable in our ability to get equipment. Hopefully the next step is that it's having a career is equitable. It's still a bit of a long way to go. So where do you see as the evolution? What's the next phase of change?
I think the next phase of change, like I can only speak to my personal experience, and anything I say here is only from my perspective, which is one that's constantly learning. But for me, I think the biggest breakthrough was in my head, I was kind of scared of offending people or, you know, like maybe some clients dropping me because I was being vocal about this imbalance. And I've kind of just shed that recently and gone, you know what, stuff it. This needs to be said. It needs to be said loud. And if I do lose some people along the way, that's fine. And so I think it's just a lot of us have a fear of kind of rocking the boat or like upsetting the status quo or the way things have been, because the people who have all the power probably don't want to hear us yelling about how the power dynamic is imbalanced. But I think it's just, it's easier said than done, but just stopping being scared and put it out there, talk about it, shout about it, and then take action and bring people in. I think it's also underrepresented groups supporting each other. Once you do get your foot in the door, bring as many other people as you can through behind you. Mentor people, go for coffees, you know, give them, share your experience. I think it's about the people who have been in the industry longer, the senior people, and I'm including myself in that. I'm in my 40s now, mentoring and helping the next generation of filmmakers that are coming through.
How important is diversity on screen for supporting those wanting careers behind the camera?
It's so important to have diversity below the line as well as above the line. And studies show that when you do have more diverse people in positions of power, then it filters down and through into all the other departments, including on screen. I've seen it myself firsthand. I was really lucky to work for Polyglot Theatre Company on a project that was called 5678 Film Club. And that was all about engaging students at a high school and primary school in Collingwood who are making the jump between primary school and high school. And it was about engaging them through film in order to lower the dropout rate, because there was quite a high dropout rate in that area. And a lot of the people were Sudanese refugees that had never seen anyone that looked like them on the big screen. And so we would go there and help them, just like facilitate them to tell their stories, and then they would act them out. And we would then at the end of the year show it on a big screen. And to see their faces, to see themselves and people who look like them on screen was just so empowering for them. They absolutely loved it. And they did, I think it was Victoria Uni did research into the project, and it showed that it did make a really big impact. And around that same time, Black Panther came out at the cinemas. And the excitement in these kids at seeing something like that on the big screen was just so incredible. And so it does make a difference, you know, not being at a, I'm a white woman, so I'm really privileged and I recognize that. And I can see people who look like me on the screen, but for someone that hasn't been able to see someone that they identify with, it's so important that, yeah, diversity, whether it's race, gender, ability, all of those areas, it needs to be represented so everyone can see themselves. It just needs to be reflective of society, really. At the end of the day, whether it's on crews or on screen, it just needs to be an accurate representation that shows the beautiful, colourful society that we live in.
That was Alana Barker-Thompson from Said Done Media. For more information about the great work they do, go to www.saiddone.com. You're listening to Celluloid Dreams.